We are holding our annual Veterans Day Chapel early this year due to a special series in chapel next week. And we are very honored to have Chaplain Major Scott Bullock as our speaker today. He holds 2 degrees from VJU, an undergraduate degree, as well as a Master of Divinity degree. A few years ago, Dr. Short and I had the privilege to go to Fort Jackson, South Carolina, and a fellowship with Chaplain Bullock there and see firsthand the work that he was doing at that time in training military chaplains. Chaplain Bullock himself has served as for 16 years in numerous locations in America and across the world for the U.S. Army. He has received numerous military awards and decorations, including the Bronze Star. He has recently been selected for promotion to Lieutenant Colonel. He's married to the former Kara priest, and they have a son and a daughter, and reside in Newport News, Virginia, and are members of Bethel Baptist Church in Hampton, Virginia. Chaplain Bullock's parents, Mr. and Mrs. Dave Bullock, as well as his wife's parents, Dr. and Mrs. Jerry Priest, and his brother-in-law, Dr. Kevin Priest, are all here with us here today in chapel, and we are delighted to have Chaplain Scott Bullock to speak today in our Veterans Day Chapel.
Thank you, Dr. McAllister. Those that know me know I love saying today is an outstanding day to be in service for our country and our God. And in the Army, we have a quick short word expression to kind of fill the gap for all things that mean amen. I agree with you. I'm with you. I'm following you. Now, the Marine Corps has their oorah. But what's the Army say? And I'm going to try to get that out of you real quick. The Army has its hool. Can you help me out with a good hool this morning? Hool? Oh, my goodness. All right. That's what we say in the Army to say amen. Well, this is like a second home for me here in Greenville now. Because grateful that my parents have descended on here in Greenville, and they're with us here this morning, and my in-laws are here. I wish my wife could be here, but our kids are in school. They're in the Hampton Roads of Virginia, and I think we have some seated here right now from that Tidewater area. Well, the Army says that home is wherever we send you, thanks to Uncle Sam. So that started in January 1st of 98 for me at Fort Benning in Columbus, Georgia for 3 years. Then the Army said, we're going to send you to a place called Pyeongtaek, Korea, where Camp Humphreys is for a year, where you're going to serve with the Air Cavalry. And already by this point, I'm starting to think I'm beginning to literally do what I sang in Sunday school growing up as a youngster. I may never what? Did you ever sing this growing up? March in the infantry. I did a lot of that at Fort Benning when I served at the infantry training brigade. And then I found myself serving with the Apache Flyboys with 3rd Squadron, 3rd Cavalry Brigade, to then 4 years at Fort Campbell, Clarksville, Tennessee, where the Army said, we're going to send you on a free trip to Kuwait and Iraq for 18 months, but we'll split it up. We'll let you go 6 months the first time, come home for a year, and you're going to go right back again. I had the privilege of serving with the same truck driver battalion, the transporters, those 4 years to then go to Columbia, South Carolina, where Fort Jackson is. Had a couple assignments there to now where we are in the Hampton Roads at Fort Eustis. And just a couple weeks ago, the Army said, you're moving again. This time we're going to send you back to the land of sweet iced tea and barbecue in the southeast at Fort Gordon in Augusta, Georgia. So you be praying with me as I move my family, and we'll be transitioning to another assignment as the deputy installation chaplain there at Fort Gordon. Really looking forward to that. So on behalf of my commander, who is commanding officer 93rd Signal Brigade, Colonel Maria Bianc, and she looked in my eyes and said, Chaplain, you have an opportunity to speak at your university. You tell them this. Thank you for all they're doing. I'm going to send you on a zero-cost TDY. We're a little strapped in the money right now, so you get out and you speak well on behalf of our Army and on behalf of the senior ranking officer of JBLE, that's the Joint Base Langley Eustis, we just say Fort Eustis. My son at 12 years old bumped into him
This is four-star General Cohn, Commanding General of Training Doctrine Command. I want to say you have a blessed Veterans Day weekend. I hope you do. So what are you going to do? Do they let you grill out behind Gaston or Smith Dorm? No, we couldn't do that. Not so much when I was a student here. I hope you're finishing up your papers, though, right? You got some papers to finish? You got that going on? Yeah, I know. I bet some of you do coming up here. I want to say thank you to the several, I bet, or more that have served our country in uniform from right here in the front row, maybe all the way up. If you've at least completed a basic course, basic training, boot camp in any one of the branches, you just stand up for a moment. Army, where are you at, Army? Stand up, Army. All right. And we're clapping. I love it. Stay standing. I'm going to make you keep standing. I'm in the Army first. We're going to keep standing. Navy, where are my sailors? Sailors in the Navy. Okay. How, we have an airman here. Any other airmen? Airmen? Okay. Marines. Where are my Marines? I know there were a few Marines. Hey, we got some Marine Corps. All right. I'm not going to forget our Coast Guardsmen, and I don't want to forget our public safety as well. I know. Yes. What did I? Yes, absolutely. I appreciate that. And typically, Memorial Day, we think of those who have given their life. And Veterans Day, we honor those who are living. But I say thank you as well to all of our law enforcement and firefighting officials. Well, I want to fittingly remember and honor our veterans today. And I also include our Department of Defense civilians, who I particularly minister and serve with right now, including contractors of all kinds as well. And in order to do this, fittingly honor and remember those who have served, I want to direct our attention to 2 Timothy chapter 2. So please take your Bibles with me, please, and find 2 Timothy 2 or your app. Anyone have an app they're using, electronic? Few. Look at all the hands up. All right. That's a little different from when I was seated out here. And I want, of course, I'm going to be reading from the King James here, and I want you to read with me in a highly motivated, highly dedicated, saber-sharp, and battle-ready way. Can you do that? I think we could do it all together. Can we get in the same rhythm or cadence here? This is a very short verse. Just verse 3 here. You see it there? You see it? Here we go. You follow me. 2 Timothy 2:3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, beside Jonah, I can't find that many sailors in Scripture. And I might be stretching it just a little bit with Jonah there, you know. I can't find any Devil Dog Marines, though I've had some Marines appeal to David's mighty men of valor, and I like that. And for obvious good reason, I don't find any airmen or Coast Guardsmen recorded in Scripture, but I do find many soldiers, or soldiers directly referenced. And that's who you have before you. I am proud to serve our country, our United States Army, as a soldier and as a minister. We say chaplain. I believe God's called me to be a missionary evangelist to the military. Listen, I want you to be the best spiritually fit, equipped, and motivated soldier for our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text that we just read, verse 3, tells us that we must be a good soldier in Christ's service. And if you're a thinking person sitting right here, you might think, hold on, wait, hold on, chaplain, I'm not a soldier. Certainly not in the sense that you are, and I understand that. But God, working through the Apostle Paul here, speaking to his son in the faith, Timothy, he's going to use at least three illustrations or analogies or metaphors to describe the importance of your faithful service for God as you walk in your Christian life. And the first one he's going to use is as a soldier, and remind Timothy that amid the very real suffering and persecution that I'm going through right now and that you will probably face, I want you to come see me here in Rome and do so with your thinking of yourself as a soldier before God. So knowing that soldiers first mentioned in verse 3, I'm going to link 1 through 4 together, and in just verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, find 4 distinctives of being a soldier for God. Number 1, in verse 1, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Number 1, strengthen yourself through God's grace. God's amazing grace. I love how the apostle kind of like grabs Timothy's attention right up front in an emphatic, "Hey, you," kind of way. "You then, you be different. You be strong." And if I'm understanding this right, I love this verb where it has the idea of a progress that keeps on growing, or an expected progress. I could read it this way: you keep being strengthened. You be different than those that I mentioned at the end of chapter 1 in verse 15 who were with me here or in Asia. You see verse 15 where he says, "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me." And he mentions 2 by name, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. But verse 16, I like this encouragement. There's one great exception. "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus." Timothy, you be like Onesiphorus. You be strong. And you keep growing in that grace, the source for your strength. Now, we know what this grace is, don't we? This unmerited favor, I believe, is a grace that saves. I would appeal to the previous imperative commands that Paul tells. One of them is back in chapter 1, verse 8, when he says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." Timothy, don't be embarrassed with what happens. Don't be ashamed of what? The testimony of who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just going to take that as the wonderful gospel message itself, the testimony of our Lord, and that Jesus Christ was God's Son. He did die. He was buried, and he rose again in body by God's grace and for his glory, and now preparing a place in heaven for us. So this grace saves, and I hope that as you hear chapel speakers come up here and remind you of how great the gospel is in reminding us that this grace is an unconditional grace in our election from the foundation of the earth. It's a grace that regenerates us, yes, in John 3. It's a grace that justifies us, right, by stripping away all the guilt of our sin as we place our faith in Jesus Christ and placing on us the earned righteousness of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:9 tells us this is a grace that reconciles us to God. When we are an enemy, we become a friend of God. It makes us a joint heir with Christ. We speak of the union with Christ, and I appreciate those professors who drilled that into me as a student here. It makes us an adopted child of God. I will never forget the testimony of Sergeant Vic as we were out at Camp Arif John Kuwait. Sergeant Vic was from outside of Reno, Nevada, and he had a Mustang that he just loved. This is a real Mustang pony that he would use as a cutting horse. And he told me the story of his adopted daughter, 12 years old, that was getting very good on this real Mustang. When she was 12, she had an accident. She was thrown from that horse and she was killed. He said for the last year, that he's talking to me about the last year, 11 months, I've been bitter, angry to God. And you brought a message there in this little chapel. Actually, it was Camp Arif John on the Iraq border. I could hit a golf ball if I wanted to, right in the Safwan, Iraq. And Sergeant Vic heard that in our salvation, Galatians, God says, "I'm going to adopt you and make you a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords." And he said, "Chaplain, I remember how difficult it was and the great love I had for my adopted daughter. And to realize that God's adopted me, I want this. Chaplain, can you help me? I really don't know what to say, but I think prayer is important. I believe this. Can you help me express this belief to God in prayer? Absolutely, Sergeant Vic. And we got down in that. They said kerosene and, you know, covered tent there. I don't know. I thought I could smell it sometimes there at Camp Navistar, Iraq. And Sergeant Vic confirmed his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what grace, what a change we saw in his life. Not only does this grace save, it sustains us. Here's a question I like to ask soldiers. Have you ever been grasped or gripped by God's grace? Yes, I've used the question. I think it's a very biblical question. Have you been born again? But our soldiers may be thinking in our culture that might not communicate so much with them, depending on certainly where they come in our country. But this can rivet them to their chair with a lot of good follow-up questions, like if I'm in a DFAC, you know, that's a dining facility in deployment. And I, hey, soldier, I remember sitting down next to one Ranger with a triple canopy that's airborne and special forces and Ranger tabbed all the way out, every badge you could earn, halo and air assault and diver. And I sit down, and I notice he's sitting by himself, and he, all right, got a chaplain here, you know, how you doing today, chaplain? I'm just trying to do what I can that's best to get God to balance the scale out a little better in my favor, so the big Ranger in the sky likes me just a little more today. That gave me a pause to stop and think. I said, Sergeant First Class, first of all, I'm so privileged to serve God as Sovereign King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yeah, I don't like to refer to God as the big Ranger in the sky, absolutely. But let me ask you this question. Have you ever been gripped by God's grace? I think that's what Paul's referring to here. It isn't trite or cliche when I say by this grace we grow in our faith, in our sanctification, that we keep on keeping on, that we refuse to quit. I will not forget that second day when I reported to Fort Benning and Colonel Kelly Mays came out. All right, I haven't had a chaplain for 5 months now. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. We're going to go out in the field. And we go out in the field and it is a cold, crisp January, what, 5th or 6th night there in 98. And I am so wet behind the ears, pretty much straight out of seminary. And we get in the cut V and we go out and we're walking through. Watch where you walk. We've had rattlers, eastern rattlers come through here. Keep on keeping on, chaplain. And we come through and we all of a sudden, like 100 soldiers from a company come out of their dug in defensive fighting positions. Oh, the lieutenant colonel's here, lieutenant colonel's here. And who's this brand new first lieutenant with a cross up here? Oh, we got a chaplain here now. And all of a sudden, my new boss, the battalion commander, turns to me and he says, hey, soldiers, we're great to have a new chaplain here today. And I didn't tell him I was going to do this. But chaplain, I want you to give a great word of the day. Just give something right now to these soldiers that they can take with them. Boom! Spotlight on you. Talk about welcome to the Army. Okay, might not be thought of prepared ahead of time, but I looked at these soldiers dirty, ready to get out of the field. And I say, soldiers, don't you dare quit now in Victory Forge. But you keep on, and you keep on keeping on by doing right. And I look up, not a cloud in the sky, just filled with stars. And it just hit me. You do right till the stars fall. Do right. One of the drill sergeants just looked at me and goes, chaplain, I needed to hear that. That was so profound. You just made that up right now. And chaplain can't lie. It just occurred to me right now. Do right till the stars fall. Do right. I appreciated those soldiers. But he says in verse 2, we're moving. You make skilled disciples as a spiritual mentor. See verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. I like that verb, commit now. Again, if I understand it right, it means to entrust or deposit a sacred trust or care to someone. You take their training very seriously. You know the Army does that. In fact, this very morning as I'm speaking to you, the soldiers of HHC, 93rd Signal Brigade, I think are doing the EST-2000. That's the digital M16, M4 carbine weapons trainer. Just a couple weeks ago, though, they were having fun in the CS chamber. Yes! Who knows what a CS chamber is? Come on. All right, prior service, you know where the Army, the military is trying to train you. You trust your equipment. Boy, that'll preach from Ephesians chapter 6. In trusting in your weaponry, your equipment that God's given you, you trust your gas mask when you go into that chlorine sulfur tear gas chamber and that drill sergeant says, pull off your gas mask, tell me your name, your unit, where you're from, then you think you're done. No, no, drop down and give me 20 and start pushing up Fort Benning or whatever you're at right now. And after a few moments, you can't help but to suck it in. Your eyes are burning. Oh, your nose is burning. And you come out and you're gagging. And then it clears after a minute and you're doing this. Oh, man, I'm the greatest thing. Look at what I did. I just walked out of here. I can handle this gas chamber. I know better. You were screaming like a crying baby in there just a minute before. We take training seriously. Why? It's a matter of life and death. The Apostle Paul says here, Timothy, I like what some Bible teachers said, in four generations, me, one generation, and I committed this to you like I did back in chapter 1, verse 13, when he said, you hold fast the form of sound words. That's good teaching. That's doctrine, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Remember all that I taught to you, and then you, second generation Timothy, you train other and trusted faithful men who then in turn will do what? Train others. Let me ask you a question. Do you have some people that you can go to when you need help? In my brigade, we just had what's called OPT, Officer Professional Development, and we had a video teleconference with just recently retired Major General Perry Smith. And General Smith said, here's some advice to you officers. You need to have at least 500 people in your brain trust. Brain trust? Brain, what's that? He goes, I've got actually 700 business cards. I'm thinking, wow, you know, 68 years old, a retired major general. You've been all over the world, met people that are subject matter experts in all kinds of fields. But do you have one or two, hopefully a trusted faculty member that you could go to, say, help me? Or are you being that individual? We take mentoring and coaching very seriously in our Army. For me here, it was when I arrived that September of 89 as a freshman, and I get up to grades 235, and coming down the hall is my dormitory counselor. And he says, Scott, right? Did you hear? I got great news for you today. Oh, really? I'm just here, you know, fresh as anything. 2 weeks, freshman here. Yeah, I got great news for you today. You know what's this Saturday morning? Well, didn't you hear Dr. McAllister? He talked about extension ministry. Well, I'm taking you this Saturday morning, and we're going to go serve with a church called Mount Calvary Baptist Church, and we're going to go knock on doors. And I think this would be very good for you, and I needed that so much. We called him Mr. K. I think his name was pronounced Mr. Kamabayashiyama. And maybe that's a name that some have forgotten, but serving faithfully out in the Philippines right now. And for an entire semester, he mentored me, in addition to another named Dr. Mark Lehman, who had a love for languages that instilled that in me, in addition to a passion for the gospel and missions. That was very near and dear to my heart, that I could sit in helping me to be a better employee at Mac Library. For 2 years, as God used that as training in my life. He goes on in verse 3, he says, share or endure in the suffering that God permits. I talked about knowing and using your equipment. You know what will happen if you're a soldier or a Marine and you misplace your weapon? Let me tell you, if you lose or misplace your weapon and you meet the first sergeant or the command sergeant major of your unit, you just brought on yourself a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. You do not lose your weapon. And what we have, the resource for our energy, he says here, you endure hardness through Christ your Savior. And then finally, he says, you please or you delight your sink. You know who the sink is? C-I-N-C. When I came in the Army, every four-star commander, or nearly every four-star commander, was referred to as a sink. Commander-in-chief. Right now, we only say, truly, there's only one commander-in-chief, and that's the President of the United States. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a commander. You have one who enlisted you in the service that now has your devotion, has your loyalty, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, no man in verse 4 that warreth and tangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And my prayer is, God, help me to, by your grace and for your glory, be a fitting, pleasing officer, yes, for my commander in the military, but ultimately my loyalty belongs to the one who saved me and called me to this ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I transition to some prayer requests of how you can be praying for our service members. I'd like to start by, you know, I've been to veterans administrations. I've been to VFW halls, and there are certain things that just tie, unite veterans together, like our culture expressed in our values. Do you know that the military, the Army, I'm speaking on behalf of the Army, has seven values, and I'm convinced I can find every one of them in Scripture, and that's good ammunition for me when I'm speaking on behalf of moral, ethical issues to our military, to our joint forces and our Army. And so we use the acronym leadership. We just drop the E and the A. It's LDRSHIP. Number one, loyalty. And then duty. Respect, treating people as they should be treated. Selfless service. It's not all about you, but the country you have devoted yourself to serve. H is for honor. I is integrity. And then finally, P is your very personal courage, not just in the face of battle when the lead is flying downrange, but the moral courage to stand up and do what is ethically and morally right. Now, I just didn't say that. That is in the very Army definition. So sometimes soldiers get into trouble and they come and they go, well, how can you say this, chaplain? Well, are you living up to the very Army values that the Army has set for itself? That's right. Our culture also expressed military. They know words like commissary, the BX, the PX. Navy knows what captain's mast is, or Article 15 hearings in the Army. The Army knows what many Burger King lunches are. Every Army post has a Burger King. That's all you'll find. And that's the only place where you're going to have it your way on an Army installation, all right? The Army has PT, where we love getting up at 06 in the morning and running. You do that? Did you get up? Did you run this morning? Did you get 4 miles under your belt this morning? Did you sing at all while you're running? Some of you might like to sing. We do it all the time in the Army, and we think it's fun. And we get to say, the government's paying me to have this much fun, to get out and sing things like this. Up in the morning, before day, I don't like it. No way. Eat my breakfast too soon, hungry as Dr. Bob. By noon, so I went to the dining common on my knees, saying, mess daddy, feed me, please. Mess daddy looked with a big old grin and said, you want to be a Bruin, you got to be thin. Left, right, left, right, left, right. I thought I heard that the other day. I go, no, did I hear something else? It's expressed in our creed. I love to see that drill sergeant get up at Fort Jackson with all the family members there and then have the soldiers recite it at graduation. Sometimes 3,500 soldiers graduating at once, and one drill sergeant gets up and will stand up in uniform like this and say, I am an American soldier. I am a warrior and a member of a team. I serve the people of the United States, and I live the Army values. I will always place the mission first. I will never accept defeat. I will never quit. I will never leave a fallen comrade because I am disciplined, mentally and physically tough. I'm trained and proficient in my warrior tasks and drills. I will always maintain my arms, my equipment, and myself because I am an expert and I am a professional. I stand ready to deploy, engage, and destroy the enemies of the United States of America in close combat. I am a guardian of freedom and the American way of life. I am an American soldier. And the crowd goes wild because that resonates with us in these values that we've heard. This unites our military. And so in closing, I would just leave some prayer requests of challenges that are facing our military today. The painful reality of death. Do you realize that since 2001, 6,726 have paid the ultimate sacrifice? One of the duties that I have is knocking on doors and conducting casualty notification duty. I hope I never have to do it again. I painfully knocked on 13 doors. Just a month ago, I knocked on a door and the Department of Army said, you go at 1 o'clock in the morning. And I had a wife come to the door, still up 1 o'clock in the morning with a 5-year-old son in her hand. And she knew exactly why I was there when she saw the crosses on my uniform. And before I could even give, I'm not supposed to speak first, I'm with, and I'm supposed to assist the notification officer who says, ma'am, I'm sorry, on behalf of the Secretary of Defense, your husband was just killed. And it goes on from there. We couldn't even get it in. She said, no, 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 why? Why are you here? Leave, go, I don't want to see you. And the screaming continued. What do you do? What do you say? We plead for what is mentioned in verse 2. God, help me be strong in your grace. As I deal with an army that is suffering the painful loss of those wounded, those who have died, the culture is changing. We're struggling amidst the changes of the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and the Defense of Marriage Act that has been repealed. Our chaplains are facing particular struggle and the tension and the challenge of navigating their way of ministry in a military, that is now celebrating homosexuality. We need the grace here in verse 1. So I say, pray with me. God, help us as we close here in prayer. God, thank you for our nation and who you've called to serve in uniform. God, amid the challenges, amid the culture that is represented throughout the military, we need your grace, chaplains, soldiers, airmen, sailors, Coast Guardsmen, and Marines, to stand up in courage and say, Jesus Christ is my King of Kings and foremost my commanding officer, and I am going to serve my country according to its values. Help me, Lord God. Thank you for this Veterans Day weekend. Thank you for these students. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.